Thank you, good morning, and thank you very much for the invitation. I'm going to try to do in this 7 to 10 minutes is two things. There is a perception widely shared in the international community about several of our countries that we are very near the collapse of the state, or that we are within the category that some political scientists have labeled failed states. I will try to dispel that in a few minutes, because it's not really close to what is going on. The state is indeed working, but in favor of a chosen few, which is a different thing. It does function, but it has failed to provide the services that the Constitution mandates to all of the people. And natural resources and water, specifically, also fall in this category of a dislocated state service scaffolding of institutions. And in a second part, I will focus more on what some of us perceive to be one of the most perilous threats to political stability in Guatemala, and that could spill over into the neighboring countries, Mexico included, because of the lack of proper policy making and enforcing regarding our natural resources, and specifically regarding water. One particular aspect that I would like to mention at the outset is that both Salvador and Guatemala, as well as Nicaragua for different reasons, we're coming out of internal armed conflicts that were very recently stopped through peace negotiations. And at the core of those negotiations, there were clear shortcomings in the organization of the state and state services, so that state reform was required as part of the peace agreements in all of the region. And if you have been following what has been going on in Colombia, it's pretty much the same case. There is a need for state reform. Secondly, there is an inheritance of violence that has adopted different aspects of brutally influencing the behavior of entire sectors of population. A lot of the fractures within the institutions of the state are related to this. It would take me much longer to explain, but I'm going to try to do my best along basically three lines. Public institutions have depended on political decision-making processes that come from governments that only last for 4 or 5 years. And so in these 4 or 5 years, depending on the country, in my country it's 4 years, several people that go into politics want to get the most out of what their appointments yield. So in 4 years, if they're well-intentioned, they want to produce short-term results. And many of the transformation processes within the structure and services of the state will not happen in 4 years. There are processes that require a lot longer. Secondly, they have to do with the culture of the country, embedded in what we have been educated like for years, is a deep racism in Guatemala. It depends on who counts, but more or less half of the population of our country belongs to 22 different ethno-linguistic groups, mostly of Mayan origin. But there are 22 different languages spoken in Guatemala still today. In some areas, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people remain speaking their own language. In others, they're above 1.5 million. Nonetheless, all of the education system, all of the legal system, all of the health system is organized in Spanish. And, of course, it is expected of all the population to abide by this official language. In the peace accords, we managed to strike a deal in one of the peace accords that education, health services, and legal systems, legal assistance, would be provided in both Spanish and their own native language. Natural resources are something that have been regarded as a specialized area or specialized field, and very few people within the reach of governmental decision-making processes regard natural resources as something that would have a serious political impact, not until they become a real pressing problem when water falls. Water depletion, however, scarcity and contamination is a growing problem in Guatemala, not only because of the mismanagement that we have developed over the years, but also because of climate change impact that Mr. Minister referred to. Within this perspective, there is another element that was not existent when we negotiated the peace accords, which is digital communications and social networks. Now, all communities within the country are aware of so much information and many decisions that are taken at central governments that they have identified one of the main and most devastating problems for them: sugar plantations, oil, African palm plantations, and banana plantations are using a lot of the water that belongs to them. And even in some areas, they have deviated rivers, which is, of course, a crime. But no one has been able, not even the Ministry of the Environment, to enforce sanctions that are contemplated within the law. And finally, the impact of climate change is producing very important changes, not only in the geography of the country, but also because in these dry corridor that repeats over and over every year for 40 years, it has about 43 years, it's been detected and evaluated. The populations, the villagers that live in dry soils and water scarcity lands, they are beginning to migrate to water-rich lands. So they are already producing internal conflicts, invading, quote-unquote, the territories of the communities who inhabit water-rich lands. If this is not properly dealt with in the short time and in an all-encompassing way, we are going to be facing a new breed of societal conflicts that can become quite violent and that could trigger a new wave of illegal migration or paperless migrants. In many communities in Guatemala, and with this I finish, local population are trying to regain control, if they ever had it, over their natural resources. They claim to be of a tradition and a culture that knows how to care better for their natural resources. And they resent central government making all the decisions, not only over water, but also in mining projects and the like. And this is an agenda that is open to many groups to participate. Of course, environmentalists are very happy to support this. Churches are very happy. Social activists of different organizations are very happy. And opportunistic political parties as well are very happy. But this is creating a serious political tension between central government, who is by constitutional mandate the responsible for the strategic resources, and local communities who want to have control over their natural resources, not only on the surface, but underground. I don't know if this gives you a glimpse of what we're up against. Thank you.